attention to my words. Incline your ear to my saying.
For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith, which comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God, rightly divided here with power, authority, and conviction by Bishop Eddie Addy from the Macarius Church headquarters. This anointed teaching will challenge you, strengthen you, and equip you for a truly victorious life in the Lord. Be transformed as you listen.
Give attention to my words.
Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I'm excited to be in the house of the Lord. And guess what? Our Father is in the house. Oh, come on. Victory increases. Let me show our Father some love. We missed him last week, but he's in the house. Give the Lord a shout.
Wow, what a blessing. Keep clapping unto the Lord. He's worthy. Hallelujah. Good to see you all again. I have a very important announcement to make after the service. So make sure you are here for that announcement. Very important. Let's pray. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus for this glorious time. We are amazed that you love us, that you show us kindness and mercies. So, Father, today as we come again into your presence, we ask you to come one more time. We believe you are here already. But as we look into the perfect law of liberty, we pray for a heart that trembles at your word. We ask for minds that are renewed by the power of your word. We ask that you send forth your word and heal and deliver and take us higher and higher in our God. We thank you for everyone that is here and for those that are coming, that and for all who are listening on Sweet Melodies, Dofupa FM, YouTube, Facebook, wherever they are. Reach out and touch them and bless them. Please open our eyes to behold wondrous things out of your law. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Please be seated. Yeah. I'm still on enlargement because I think that it's a very prophetic message that God gave to me, confirmed by our prophet at Give Thyself Holy. And many things are happening to prove that it's our season of enlargement. So just to put it in perspective, I know some people were not here when I began, and some people have missed their way, even though, you know, there have been a couple of breaks, but we are still on in line. We are following a particular line. We began by, you know, the preparation for enlargement. If you remember, that we spoke about the season of enlargement, and that God will enlarge you through this book, through meditation, learning from history, being deeply spiritual, if you remember. We spoke a lot. They are all on podcast, so you can go back and refresh yourself. Then we talked about enlargement through aloneness with God, like the preparation. You have to be spiritual, because a lot of things that are happening in this life, you have to be spiritual to experience them. And then we came to the battle for enlargement. We are actually studying the book of Joshua. If you are following the teaching, we are actually looking at the Joshua generation and the way God enlarged his people and took them from Egypt through the wilderness into the promised land, and how they inherited all the promises that God gave them. So that is why We are on it. We are on it. We are still on it because we are also getting to our promised land. All right. So we began by looking at enlargement by a series of battles, that there will be several battles if you are going to be enlarged, that nothing in this world comes easy. Even what God has promised you, He has promised you. Even what God has given you, He has given you. But He told Moses that He has given the land of, He has given the king of Bashan and his land. And then Og, Sihon the Amorite, and Og, He has given them their land. But they should rise up and contend with them in battle. Which means that even though He has given, the enemies are still there and you have to contend. So a lot of things you go through in life, it's as though God hasn't given you, because you really struggle before you get it. So some people feel when they struggle and get it that it's their own strength that has brought it to them. But they don't know that it's God who is working out things for them. God is working now. Is that not so? Yes, God is working now. I said God is working now. I said God is working now. He's working on your case. He's working on your situation. Yeah. So rise up and take charge. Whether it's education, you are going to fight. Business, there's nothing. Ministry. Hey, ministry. Those of us who even with the church, if somebody gets this church, like as this congregation is, it's like he'll call himself Pope. But it's difficult ministry. Growing your church, one person, going for outreach, winning. Hey! No. If you are proud and start church, you become humble. Yes. Those who are proud that they can do things, when they see church, oh, what is this? The church, they are not, a lot of people, we cannot preach. Okay, no problem. Just go and preach. All your sermons you have prepared for 1 year, prepare them and come. When you start preaching, you'll be surprised that they will finish. And you wonder where next is my next message. Yeah. And those of you who have not been preaching, don't criticize people who are preaching. His English is not good. The grammar is like, you'll be surprised that you yourself, your grammar will mix up when you start preaching. Yeah. Somebody is singing. Is that how to sing? Please come. Come and try. You'll be shocked that the key, to be able to hold what they call a key, that when they play the tune, ping, 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 and you have to now start, my God, you cannot link the two. That ping, 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 my God. You can't know where to go. You'll be surprised. That's why you have to be humble. Humility is very important. But there will be battles at home. But those who are married, you know already, isn't it? You say, I love you. But they I love you, no. Huh. There are going to be battles that you must be ready for. Don't run away from them. Because we even learned from Bob Marley. It's not in the Bible, but it's also true. Bob Marley sang a song that he who fights and runs away lives to fight another day. It's the same battle. No, you fight. So you have to be ready. Those who are trying to propose to a girl, sometimes you bounce once, bounce twice, then you say you marry again. You should marry. That's how it is. There are many battles. Sometimes you are as if you have lost, but at the end of the day, there are series of battles. In the end, you will win. I said, in the end, you will win. But sometimes there are battles. When Joshua began, he won in Jericho. He lost in Ai, but he didn't give up. He went back to God, came back to Ai, and won in Ai. Yes, so you will also win. Don't be discouraged. In fact, the righteous man falleth even 7 times and riseth again. Don't be discouraged when you fall and falter a few times. There is a God who will help you to stand. Don't give up. 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 A series of battles will bring you to your own place of enlargement. Don't give up. Don't give up. You start business, it doesn't work, don't give up. You start area fellowship, it doesn't work, don't give up. Don't give up. Don't tell yourself that it's not going to work again. No, 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 no. There's nothing like that. It's you who, you are your own enemy. You have your own self-destructive demons that you activate. So when you activate your own self-destruction and demons, then you destroy your own self by the words you say, by your own attitude, by your own throwing in the towel. But don't give up. If only you can believe in God, I tell you that it's going to get better and better. For the path of the just is like the shining light. It shines brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter until the full day. Shine brighter. When I was in primary school, they taught us that poem. Try again. If at first you don't succeed, try again. It's a lesson you should heed. Try again. If at first you don't succeed. So try again. Even my primary school choir, they have a poem that encourages students. Try again. If at first you don't succeed. So if you are working maths and you get it wrong, try again. Don't say you can't do it. I remember when I was changing schools from Kumasi to Accra. When I went to the administration, they said they want to give me an exam so that they know where to place me. I looked at the paper, I said, I can't do it. I didn't even attempt. I just said, I can't do it. They said, oh, eh. Because I was intimidated. Hey. Where I was coming from, they were wearing khaki. These people were wearing navy blue shorts and pink shirts with sandals and socks. Me too, I've walked barefooted for a long time before I'm coming. They were speaking English, I was speaking Chi when I arrived. And I could not, the English was, it was, I could do it because I was first in my school when I was coming. And when I came and I went, I was first. The class they put me in first. So I should have done the paper and gone to the next class. Like by now, I don't know, I'm deep. But it's good. All things work together for good. You see. But don't give up so easily. Don't give up. Press on that thing, that place. Some of you, even visa, they bounced you 7 times. Try again. I tell you. One day you'll be smiling when you are coming out of that place. Hey, it be me this way I get my visa. My God, America, here I come. It will happen practically in your life. So a series of battles awaits us in every field of endeavor. At home, inside the bedroom, even at home, inside the bedroom. There are bedroom battles. Yeah. Nobody can hear what is happening. Only 2 people know what is happening in this battle. Yes. Bedroom ones. Inside the bedroom, cry. There are, you know, like, okay, put your things here, put my things here, put that. That battle is also there. But there's another type of bedroom battle. It's not easy to even discuss with your friend. Academic battles, financial battles, battles for lands, battles for with disloyal, wicked people and unreasonable men. Battles with liars and deceivers. Different battles, church growth battles and maintaining church growth. Then we looked at enlargement by eliminating covetousness. The first thing God ensured that the people had it in their spirits was that when you go to battle, you are going to win along the line. Along the line, you will come into places where you are blessed financially, blessed numerically, blessed with peace and everything. But you must always within your battles dedicate something to God. That God is the main supplier of my needs. So I must always give God something to tell myself that I am not self-made. So he showed them by dedicating one city that you are going to win and inherit so many cities. Learn that your first victory belongs to God. Let it be in your head that every time You come before God, every time you are moving in life, and you must come to God with something dedicated to God. Amen. Yes, a section of your earnings, of your victories, of your salary, of your blessings must be dedicated to God, devoted to that. This one belongs to God. We don't touch that one. It's a principle. So very, very early, he penned it down. There are things that are accursed. Some things belong to God. You don't touch them. Yes, and he gave us that principle. And here he demonstrated it. That look, when you go to the city, don't touch anything. The gold, the silver, they are all mine. After that, I and other cities that they met, they are yours. It freely. You see, and you have to learn it. And then I took a break, and Bishop Asu came with, involve everybody with the work. Is that not so? Enlarge by involving everyone in the work. I told him to just do that one for me. So I'm glad that he did it. And today, just very quickly and briefly, I want to touch on two things. I hope I get the second one, but at least first one is tied to the covetousness. He says, enlarge. So this is, if you'd like to number things, enlarge. Enlargement, the battle for enlargement, number five. Enlarge by having a proper respect for blessings and curses. Beautiful. Okay. That would be a battle for enlargement number four. So number one was enlargement by a series of battles. Number two, enlarge by eliminating covetousness. Number three, enlarge by involving everyone in the work. And number four, enlarge by having a proper respect for blessings and curses. Example number one, Joshua 6, verse 7. I told you that we are studying the book of Joshua. So we are doing book study. This one is book study. That's why I've been going from chapter 1. I'm now on chapter 6. Chapter 7. We went to chapter 7. We went to chapter 8. Chapter when we came back. But we are around that one. Today we are looking at chapter 6. A bit of chapter 7. And then we will enter chapter 9. If God gives us grace. And the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein, to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house. Are you there with me? She and all that are with her in the house. And then he says what? Because she hid the messengers that we sent. And ye in any wise, verse 18, keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed when ye take of the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. You see, you hear curse, 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 curse. But some people don't have a proper respect for curse. And what is a curse? And what is a blessing? A blessing are just a few words spoken over your life to predict your future. A curse is also a few words that are spoken over your life to predict your future with harassment, with frustrations, with difficulties, with troubles and everything. So when somebody says a blessing, you are blessed, you will live long. Respect it. If somebody says, you will never make it in life, respect it. And find out who is speaking and why he's speaking. Because based on who is speaking, if the person is spiritually powerful, you are in trouble. And if the person also has a curse, you are in trouble. Because there are curses, the Bible says that a curse costless, Proverbs 26:2, a curse costless shall not stand or shall not work. Is that not so? Proverbs 26:2. Where's the guy? Hello? And ask the bird by wandering, ask the swallow by flying. So the curse causeless shall not come. So sometimes somebody will make a pronouncement and they say, oh, you know, go if you do me foco. But you should check and find out whether there is a cause. Because sometimes there is a cause. And if there is a cause, a brother, you have broken a sister's heart into several pieces. Do you understand? If she stands up to speak over your own wife and children and family, don't say that, no, go if you do me foco. Ah, that thing with the word, we enjoy yourself. Then this thing, say me, I break your heart. Then what about me too? Me too, my heart no go break. You see, but you know that you broke based on promises you made that you didn't fulfill. Do you understand? And raps that you gave that the person believed. Do you understand? And now you have gone on to marry her best friend. Do you see? Painfully. And the best friend too now doesn't talk to her friend because like, I was there when if you don't like and I like, what is the problem? So both of you are waving your hands and shaking your breast as though you are from Bukum. You see? Careful. Do you see? So curse. When the person may not even use the word curse, but those words that are spoken can lead to frustrations in your life. So I'm trying to say in this short message that have a proper respect for curses. If a spiritual person speaks and says that the Lord bless you, do you understand? The Lord deliver you from evil. Have a proper respect because those words are small, are few, but they are powerful. They can change your destiny. Yes. So over here, we saw God saying that don't touch anything in Jericho. If you touch it, you'll be accursed. See, but some people say, oh, if I touch, no, not, oh, Kai. We they touch, we not nothing they happen. We touch again, nothing go happen. The people, they just, they frighten us. But we day there, we day, me, I chop my tight, nothing happened to me. I they eat them every day. Nothing they happen. Pastor, they can they say, cursed be the one, cursed be the one, this type of thief, where they steal from God and things. It be the church where they steal from, or be God where they steal from, or be the pastor where they steal from. Where they like they talk, say, we make curse. But me, I know they see any curse for my life. And they prosper even the more. Yesterday, say, if I go buy a new car, I don't know who I'm talking for. Hey! So, look at what God described for them in verse 19. He says, but all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of their Lord. Verse 24. And they burnt the city with fire. So now they took over, the trumpets were blown, they shouted, the walls came down, they entered the town, they burnt the city down. And all that was therein, only the silver and the gold and the vessels of brass and of iron, they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. And Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive and her father's household and all that she had. And she dwelt in Israel even unto this day, because she hid the messengers which Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. And Joshua adjured them at that time, saying, cursed be the man before the Lord that riseth up and buildeth the city of Jericho. He shall lay the foundation thereof in his firstborn, and in his youngest son shall he set up the gates of it. So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame was noised throughout all the country. So here are two things that you can use as your example. One is, the things that are in Jericho are cursed, that nobody should touch, like it's dedicated, consecrated to the Lord. So why does God need, I thought you said the silver and the gold and 1,000 hills are yours. So what do you need this one in Jericho for? It's none of your business. God says that that is mine. That's why tithe, for example, when we talked about tithing, it's like God is the one who said that it belongs to the Lord. All the tithes of the land, whether it's of the fruit of the land or whatever of the land that comes out of that land, it is dedicated to the Lord. Leviticus 27:30. Do you remember that? So it's none of our business to discuss why God likes 10% or a portion of what I have. Why? You don't understand. It doesn't even matter. Even our taxes that we know that they are supposed to use for roads, provision of social amenities such as roads, water, electricity, hospital, schools, and all the, that they are not even using for that purpose. You don't rise up in arms. You pay, pay. And there's a curse on people who don't pay tax. In that curse, it's imprisonment. They didn't say it's a curse, but they said that if you don't pay your taxes, you'll be prosecuted. But prosecuted, in the end, you know, it lands you in prison or some type of fine that you have to pay. Bobo, it's a curse. It's also a curse. But it leads to frustration. But God, yeah, because if he wants to put you in prison, it's hell. But because hell hasn't come yet, he said you are cursed with a curse. So, over here, you see two things. So, the things in Jericho are cursed. Then when they finished, Joshua placed a curse on the city of Jericho that in case somebody comes up 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 50 years, 100 years, 200 years, 1,000 years after me, who decides that there's some city, it seems like there's some walls that are falling. There's some city B that looked like some, it used to be a great city. I want to build it back again and put up the wall. But when I see the foundation of the wall, it looks very nice and very big. I'm going to rebuild the city. He says that he will lay the foundation on his firstborn at the cost of his firstborn. And then he will put down up the gate. Like when he finishes and he's put the gate and he's locking the gate, his lastborn will also die. That's Joshua. So God put a curse on the items, gold, silver, and items of brass and iron in the city of Jericho. And Joshua himself, the man. So one was God's curse, the other was a man's curse. And I'm saying that you have to have a proper fear and respect for these things we call curses. And therefore, the opposite, which is blessings. Now, the first example. In 1 Kings 16 verse 33, the Bible says then, and Ahab made a grove. And Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him. Verse 34, in his days did Hiel the Bethelite build Jericho. Have you seen somebody ask him, oh, he doesn't understand curses, he doesn't fear curses, he decided to rebuild, and Joshua put a curse, and Joshua adjured them at that time, saying, cursed be the man before the Lord that riseth up and buildeth this city Jericho. He shall lay the foundation thereof in his firstborn, and in his young, Sean is the version. Where is the guy? Joshua, yes. Sean is the version. ERV, okay. And at that time, Joshua invoked this curse. May the curse of the Lord fall on anyone who tries to rebuild the town of Jericho. At the cost of his firstborn, he will lay his foundation. At the cost of his youngest son, he will set up his gates. But Hiel came up in the days of Ahab. As Ahab was making God angry, this man got up and said, me, I'm going to rebuild Jericho. And the Bible says that he laid the foundation thereof. We are back to 1 Kings chapter 16 verse 34. We are back to 1 Kings verse 34. He says, in his days did Hiel the Bethelite built Jericho. He laid the foundation thereof in Abiram. They mentioned the name of his firstborn. And set up the gates thereof in his youngest son Segub, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Joshua the son of Nun. I don't know how many years it had passed, but it must have been some years. Because 600 years after that. So this man, 600 years have passed, but the words that have been spoken on the land are still working, and you better not touch it. For as long as it is lying down, let it lie down, don't touch it. But you see, some people don't have a proper fear. Oh, no be anything, nothing will happen. 600 years away, time pass. Tell me why. Time passed to make we no be rebuild. For what? Where the land is there, like, so nobody they stay top. Make we go take. You they hear the thing they talk? Eh? Or you know they hear the thing they talk? You know they hear? You they bab. Jericho day there where nobody day talk. I say I won't go day there. They say, oh, some guy be way some 600 years ago he speaks say anyone way try build this city no. If first born go die way the second born to the last born to go die. Oh, share. Oh, so many years we like somebody go die. Somebody die long time. Nothing go happen. And sometimes you may not say it in those words, but that's what you are saying. I don't care. No. What is this? You say, touch not my anointed. Do my prophets no harm. Then you see some people rise up without fear of God. Oh, no be man. Ah, you get I say, touch not my anointed. You know when people talk about you, then make you know can't stand there. Nonsense. Me, I go talk. Hey. And there are some people that audacity. When you hear them, they sound so strong and powerful. Touch not my anointed. Do my prophets no harm. Then you see people just get up. I go touch. Share. Waiting will happen. Nothing will happen. Attach. Me attach Duncan Williams. Nothing happened. I touch TD Jakes. Nothing happened. I touch Creflo Dollar. Nothing happened. I touch the TB Joshua, nothing happened. Even Pastor Chris F. The other day, I meet him for airport. We are tortured. Nothing happened. Dagi Ward Mills. Da Kasma. I get a me too. I go touch him. You see, you don't have a proper fear for God's curse that comes. And when the Bible says that if the person lays the foundation, his firstborn will be dead. And if by the time he finishes, I don't know what has happened to all the children in between, but by the time he finishes, the last boy will be dead. He will lay the foundation. And Joshua said it more than 600. Because after Joshua came all the judges. Then after that, they called for a king. Then Saul became a king. So judges came. All these judges after Joshua. It was after Joshua that there were judges. Then after judges came the kings. And king 1, king 2, king 3, king, I think king 1, that was Saul. King 2, that was David. King 3, that was Solomon. King 4 was Rehoboam. King 5, I mean, before they reached this Ahab. Then you Hiel. You get up, you say, no be anything. I go feed you. Go and do and see. So now you finish to prove, you use your life to prove that a curse is real. Have a proper fear for curses. Yes. Even when God told Adam and Eve that the day you eat, you die. Oh, when the Eve ate the thing, she was alive. When the husband came, she gave to him. He said, I didn't die. God said, we'll die, but I didn't die. I can only see that I'm naked. But at first, I didn't realize I was naked, but you to eat it. And you know how it is. Girls and ladies have a way of charming men. Yeah. Something that you are not supposed to do before you realize you are doing it. Watch out. Watch out for the eyes of ladies. Those eyes can charm you. They can make you do things you are not supposed to do. There are some ladies, if they roll their eyes, you'll be confused. Don't look at them in the eyes. Yes. If they shake their hair, which sometimes is not theirs, it can affect you. Example number 2, look at what happened in Joshua 7. Joshua 7 verse 10, he says, "And the Lord said unto Joshua, get thee up." You see, wherefore liest thou? And when they went to Ai and fought Ai, and Ai, they were defeated. Joshua sat down and was crying and telling, "Why did you make us get defeated? Because people laugh at us that you couldn't save us. That's why you brought us here to come and kill us." Well, and God said, "Get up! Get up! Israel has sinned. Israel has sinned. And they have also transgressed my covenant which I commanded them. For they have even taken of their accursed thing and have also stolen and dissembled also. And they have put it even among their own staff." Hey! The thing that is supposed to go to God's treasury, somebody has taken and added it to his things. Therefore, the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies, because they were accursed. "Neither will I be with you anymore, except ye destroy the accursed thing from among you." He said, therefore, Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies, because they were accursed. "Neither will I be with you anymore." Can you imagine all these things happening? Because God said, "I will not be with you anymore. Now you are cursed. Now you can't stand before your enemies." That's why a little town like Ai, when you got there, you were defeated. You couldn't stand before him because "I will not be with you anymore because of the accursed thing." So maybe Achan may have thought that, "Oh, what is this? Ah, small." And Achan, the one who deceived, he said, "I saw a wedge of gold." Yeah. And some Babylonian garments. Very nice. And I didn't know. He says, "When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonian garment." Very nice dress. "We should burn it." "Oh, only one dress. If I take, nothing will happen." They are counting God's money. "You are one of the treasurers. You are putting your hand in that." "Oh, it's just there are so many thousands of cities. If I take only 2,000, what will happen? No be any 10. So a nice, goodly Babylonian garment. "And 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold, 50 shekels in weight. And then I coveted them and took them. And behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent. And the silver under it." Have a proper respect, or I'll say a proper fear for curses. And when that happened, they saw the manifest. They couldn't stand before their enemies. Perhaps some things you are not able to accomplish is because of some curse that is standing there. And these things are real. When we stand up now, they say curse. When they stand up, it's not when we stand up now, they say curse. What it is that there are curses hanging in the air. When you go and add yourself to it, you find yourself experiencing the consequences of the curses. So don't say that if somebody gets up and says, you are cursed. It's not that you are cursed. God placed curses. If you read Deuteronomy chapter 28, 27, 28, there are curses you can't even plenty over different issues. But we who are in the church must respect when they say there is a curse over something. You have to respect it. And you have to live your life. God wants to enlarge you. God wants to bring you to a place of enlargement, a season of enlargement. So don't let a curse cross you. Or don't walk with curses under your feet as you are moving towards blessings. You are walking in a curse. God will enlarge you, but brother, have a proper fear and respect for what is called a curse. If God says, don't touch my anointed, don't touch the anointed. I am that afraid even to talk about somebody that claims that God has called him. I would rather not. You say, but how can he say God has called him? And when I see him, his English is not good. How can God call such people? God calls people who cannot speak good English. Plenty. But those who speak good English, they don't respond to the call. And God calls people who are bold and confident. So when you hear them, they sound proud, but it doesn't mean pride. Sometimes confidence is not pride. It's just God has called somebody. He said, let the redeemed of the Lord say, I am, say so, that I am redeemed. So when the Lord says, say so, you say so. It's not pride. It's just what God says you should say. When they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned men, and the Bible said they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus Christ. So there's a boldness that characterizes people who are called by God. And you may think it's pride. It's not pride. Don't insult them. Don't castigate them. Don't write about them on Facebook. Don't comment. Don't comment. There are people on Facebook taking on men of God. Our prophets. Insulting our prophets. And sometimes, you who are in the church, you will not even find out how the church goes. You rather read on Facebook how the church is supposed to be. And you are mostly, it's wrong. How can somebody who is not in the church describe the church to you who are in the church? I don't know if you understand what I'm trying to say. How can you who are in your father's house wait for somebody to tell you your father is going to London? You know your father is going to London and that he has bought a new Benz? And you are in the father's house. You don't know your father has bought a new Benz. And you, how can you not find out from your father? Do you have a new Benz? Are you going to London? But you go out of the way for somebody's watchman, to tell you that your father in the house, that you are with him in the house. You ate with your father on the table. And he didn't tell you he's going to London this evening. He's telling somebody's house boy that he's going to London this evening. And you come to the house morose, you go and sleep, you are bored. And then in the evening, when you see that your father is still in the house, you say, I thought my father was going to London. You are just, I don't know what to use about you. When you are in your father's house, your father must tell you what he is doing, not a watchman outside. But there are all these people, characters, have no respect for holy things, have no fear for things that God has put his words. It may be just small words. Look at Genesis 27. I'll show you something in Genesis 27. Oh yes. Curses are real, and blessings are also real. Are you there? Genesis 27. You will see it very clearly, verse 28. The Bible says, therefore God give you, this was when Isaac was about to die. He had twin boys, Jacob and Esau. Esau was the older one. So he told Esau to go and to the field and catch bush meat and prepare the bush meat the way he likes to eat bush meat. So that his soul will rise up and bless Esau before he dies. You see, those days, they were very powerful spiritual people. They could predict when they are going to die. They could see when they are going to die. And when they are about to die, they bless their children before they die. Yes, Jacob gathered his 12 children, spoke into everybody's future. And the Bible says he gathered his feet on his bed and he went. They just know when they are about to go. You see, these days the thing has gone down. So as I come to attend, we don't know when we are dying. But anytime we speak a blessing, it's also a blessing. Yeah. So Isaac wanted his firstborn, which is the normal traditional thing that the firstborn takes the firstborn blessings. But their mother heard the discussion. And the mother preferred, you know, in the house, they are all children, but sometimes they have shared their children. I don't know whether you have a problem like that in your house, but it's like some of the children, it's like they are more daddy's girl, and then this one is mommy's girl. Like mommy prefers the last born, and then daddy prefers the firstborn. Sometimes the home is like that. Some people have that. problem. So now they had that problem. So the mother went to tell the younger one, Jacob, that, hey, your father has told your brother to go to the bush and go and buy, bring meat and make for him and bless him before he dies. I want you to get the blessing. You know you are my favorite child. You are my favorite child conference. So, this is what I'm going to do. You know, he's going to bring the meat from the bush, but I know what your father tastes. If you just catch one of the little lambs outside, I can prepare it like bush meat for your dad, and he will eat it. Yes. And you see, Jacob was afraid. You see, look at something. Oh, Jacob was afraid. And you know what he told his mother? He said to his mother that, hey, look at verse 12. He said, my father peradventure will feel me and I shall seem to him to as a deceiver, and I shall bring a curse upon me and not a blessing. You see, this man had the proper respect for blessings and curses. Well, he knew that if he was to go and his father, because he was smooth, like most of us are smooth. But Esau was hairy, like a very hairy man. So his face, his skin, everything, a lot of hair. Yes. So he said, if my father feels me, he will feel that, this smooth person, yes, not. And he was a bit going blind, so he couldn't really tell the difference. So if my father feels me, I'd rather get a curse, not a blessing. You see, I should go and get a blessing. By the time I realize the curse is what is coming, I don't want to be cursed by my father. But look at what the mother said. Verse 13. And his mother said unto him, upon me be thy curse, my son. Only obey my voice and go fetch me them. See? The mother didn't fear curse. Let the curse come upon me. No be anything. I will take your curse for you. Even if he come upon me, cry. No, don't do anything. I don't really do a curse. Your curse, if you are going to be cursed, it should come upon me. You'll be surprised. From this verse, we never hear of Rebecca again till she died. Even her nurse, who is called Deborah, the Bible even reported on her death. Because Jacob went to a particular place called El Bethel or something like that. And then when Deborah was there and she died there, she changed the name of the place because of Deborah's death. But her mother, we never heard of her throughout maybe the New Testament. No record of her death. Her nurse recorded her death, but her mother, her name was never mentioned. She was blown into oblivion. She disappeared. You didn't have a proper fear for curses. If God is going to enlarge you, fear curses in your life. Fear them. Oh, Kai. Oh. You know, some of you have a way of shrugging your shoulder like, oh. Sure. Waiting will happen. Nothing will happen. We did here. Oh. Charlie, where the thing they make a chopper? Eh? Really? You are not afraid, eh? So Rebecca said, oh, upon me. Huh? But Deborah, Rebecca's nurse, died. Okay, Genesis 35, verse 7. Hello. And he built there an altar. Okay, verse 6. You will see Jacob's name. Verse 6. So Jacob came to Luz, which is in the land of Canaan. That is Bethel. He and all the people that were with him. Verse 7. Okay. And he built there an altar and called the place El Bethel, because there God appeared unto him, and when he fled from the face of his brother. It was called Bethel, but I called it El Bethel, because God, El is God. God at Bethel. Okay? Verse 8 says, but Deborah, Rebecca's nurse, died, And she was buried beneath Bethel under an oak. And the name of it was called Alon Bakuth. They named the place after the nest. But we never hear of Rebecca, his mother, again, because upon me be your curse. But now look at the blessing that came upon Jacob when they spoke. When his father spoke upon him. He says, therefore, verse 28, Genesis 27, just a blessing. We are coming to the end. Therefore, God give of thee the dew of... I just like the way it starts. Start from verse 26 or 27. I like the way he starts, the way he blesses him. And his father Isaac said unto him, come near now and kiss me, my son. Then he said, and he came near and kissed him. Because after he had eaten, you see, it was here that I realized that blessing people doesn't come from fasting only. I can fast and bless you, but even if I've eaten and I'm really happy with the food I've just eaten, it can activate a higher blessing than if my stomach is empty. So I realized that I became comfortable when I've eaten and I'm blessing people. I realize that I don't know whether it's the food helps the brain and everything to form the words very well. So you see that you stand in a way, then you speak, then the words are flowing, then your voice even is strong. When you are fasted, it's also powerful, but sometimes it's not easy. Anyway, so he had eaten home, and he said, come and kiss me. And he smelled the smell of his raiment, his dress, and he blessed him and said, see, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field which the Lord has blessed. My God. Therefore, God give thee of the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth. And plenty of corn and wine, my God and my Lord. Let people serve thee and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over your brethren and let your mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be everyone that cursed thee and blessed be he that blessed thee. Oh yes. And it came to pass as soon as Isaac had made an end of blessing Jacob. And Jacob was yet scarce gone. And he left more. Esau arrived. And Esau, his brother came in from his hunting. He has taken time in the bush to catch the bush meat. But he has finally arrived to obey his father. Yes. And he also made savory meat. He has gone to prepare the meat. And he brought it unto his father and said unto his father, let my father arise and eat of his son's venison, that thy soul may bless me. Ooh. And Isaac, his father, said unto him, who art thou? And he said, I am thy son, thy firstborn Esau. And Isaac trembled very exceedingly and said, who? Where is he that hath taken venison and brought it to me and have eaten already of all before that thou comest? And I blessed him, yea, and he is blessed. And when Esau heard that the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry. See, these are people who have proper respect for curses and blessings. So he said that, he was crying. He's crying. Maybe to you it may mean nothing. It's like, they blessed. The people came there. They said you should come at 5 o'clock. So 5 o'clock, you are not there. So they called those who were there and they blessed them. I'm going to get a blessing, Sam. So I've prayed for the people, I've blessed them. Anyway, you come for some jara. It's like the blessing that came first was more powerful than any blessing. So Esau was crying. And he said unto his father, bless me. Even me also. Oh, my father, bless me. And his father said, thy brother came with subtlety. And had taken away thy blessing. He has taken away your blessing. And he said, is not he rightly named Jacob? Because the name Jacob means supplanter or a swindler or 419 in our local language. For he had supplanted me these two times. That's Esau talking.
He took away my birthright. You see, which is what I was even wondering. Now that they've taken your birthright, then he's the firstborn. So legally, he should have been given the blessing. But it was like an arrangement between me and my. You see, at a point in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15. Okay, lest any bitter root, verse 16. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. Do you see? For ye know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. So actually, the word here, I think, is bebelos. He a despiser of sacred things. A fornicator is like a bebelos. Somebody who bebelos the anointing. He didn't respect the firstborn right. So for a morsel of meat, like small porridge, lentil soup, he said, what is firstborn when I'm dying of hunger? Take it. You are firstborn from now. So I think from that transaction, it's like he legally should be the firstborn. Well, if you don't have a proper respect for firstborn rights and firstborn blessings, when it doesn't come to you, it's not easy like that. I see, when you now understand and have a proper respect, like if I say I'm laying hands on you, it should mean something. It should mean something. If we are Christians and we really believe the Bible, my hand being laid on you as your pastor, as your father, means something more than just, oh, I'm traveling, I'll see you. It's like for my father to say, safety is of the Lord, or the Lord bless you on this journey, I prefer it than to go on my own. Yes. If I'm holding a service, say, I'm going to lay hands on you. Lay hands. Because we lay hands, but it's not every day we lay hands. Right? There's a day I say, I'm laying hands. It must mean something. You must have a proper respect for curses and blessings. And there's no reason, there's no explanation for Israel's blessings. They are scattering. They are coming together. The forming of that nation. Their prosperity. Throughout the world, their intelligence that they have. Almost every discovery of this world has some Israel, some Israeli somewhere. There's some Israeli hiding somewhere. All the technological advancements of today, medical breakthroughs, agricultural breakthroughs, has some Israeli component somewhere inside the system somewhere. The battles they win, the fights. Oh, I have a little documentary on the title of it is it escapes me, but it talks about different escapes for the Israelis in battle. There was one time they had to cross a minefield, a mine that they planted mines that if you walk and it's very random, so you can't know the pattern for you to escape. So it's like if you walk on it, you are dead. They were standing there in the night. A wind began to blow. And the wind blew the sand off the face of the field and exposed all the landmines. The people walked through like this freely and escaped. I forget the title. If I remember, I'll tell you. Yeah. It's like, how is it possible? Only God must be on their side for them to have such escapes. In the Second World War, there was a portion where the D-Day, there was a time where they were going to fight, and they had no ammunition. Like that night, it's like all their ammunitions are finished by daytime. These Arabs have gone together, they are coming to finish Israel. Then I think one president of America, his mother told him when he was young that, or at a point that, whenever a day will come that you have to do something for Israel, when that day comes, make sure that you do it. And this was the day Israel reached out to America that they need weapons. Their weapons are finished. They airlifted fresh ammunition and things for battle and lowered them down for Israel. By the morning, they were ready.
Only God can save a nation like that. Only God. And that blessing that is on them, it finds its roots in this one, that you are blessed. Anybody who is against you is cursed. All your mother's brothers or children will bow to you. Yes. Have plenty of corn and oil. Yes. Plenty of corn and wine. That blessing was spoken. Since that day, just like Joshua's curse that came 600 years was still working. Since that time, 2,000, I don't know how many thousands of years have come and gone, but Israel is still walking and riding on this. Up to today, we are still small nation like that. But if you go there, the desert, that you see powder, then you see that these people have some intelligence. They have a drip technology where they pass pipes all over the field, all over the hedges, to drop water at the base of a plant. I don't know how they got such a wisdom. Only God can help them to do that. So you see that the place is very agric. We are in Ghana. Our land is arable. They call our land arable land. Is that not so? It means that any you plant anything, it will just grow. When Achampon made us have Operation Feed Yourself, we were able to plant corn and pepper, and everywhere in Ghana was fertile. Our land is arable, but we were an agricultural nation. We don't have farms. Where the farms are, you can't even go there. When you travel the length and breadth of the nation, you can't see farms. When you see field be along the bush, so before you can enter and go deep to go and bring produce, you see that your cow gets stuck. Now Israel, all the military might, advancement, and you see Israel, their fingerprints are somewhere. Somewhere. Computer science, engineering, medicine, I don't know whichever field, you see their fingerprint somewhere. The blessing. Have a proper respect for blessing. People were scrambling to get their father who is blind, who is about to die. Father, bless me before you go. And they were looking for that blessing. Today's Christians, we don't have a proper respect for whether it's a blessing or a curse. We don't. It's like, look, I did go write my exam. No be anything. I go feed you. Really? I've been in lecturer's house where his children are the ones entering the maths. Yes. Those of you who are lecturers, you know what I'm talking about. Your children are entering your marks of an exam you wrote that the lecturer gave you the questions for. And now that you are finished and the lecturer has marked and circled your mark, the child is now entering it for you in the portal on the computer. And once it's entered. The thing is 82. Small girl, no? She's typing your distance. She types, because they type very fast, she typed the 2 before the 8. So 28. You must have God on your side for the lecturer to come back and say, no, this is one of my best. But these days that they have more than 2,000 people in a class, I don't know how they are going to single you out and say, oh, let's... if only you, we take your index number and then your mark. Your index number and your mark. How will we even know that you are the one? Before you come, you find your result, that lecturer has traveled, she's gone on sabbatical, she's in Saskatchewan. She's on holidays. And you'll be surprised, you got 28. Do you see? Or the one who are 26 or 27. You see? Or 29. Then they just 89. It's like, what? Hey! They said, what? How did you pass? How did I pass? You ask yourself, how did you pass? You know that you didn't write anything. You know it.
did you come by 89 when you had 29? The two became 8. How? And you didn't know that you had 29. You just know that they gave you 89. That what? Then some of the top students. 52, 26, 28. They are going to rewrite. And you, from nowhere, you know your head, that the head that you have, it doesn't get 89. You are even wondering, 89? Hey, how? Then you come and give a testimony. Praise the Lord. Have a proper respect for blessings and curses. Yeah. There are journeys you are embarking on. Hey, how you arrive, how you are safe, it's not on you. You can say you are my experienced driver, but I tell you that I've seen experienced drivers lose control of a car that they have driven more than 20 years. Like different cars they've driven for 20 years. They are used to driving. The car they are even driving is new. And yet they cannot control it. But when the blessing of the Lord is on your life, what is meant for evil will turn out for your good. Yes, armed robbers can be lined up on the road. They won't find your car. They will not see when your car passes. How did this car pass? We were standing here. We were supposed to block the car, but somehow, no. Before they saw, that car is passed. Because the Lord himself has blinded their eyes. They are in the area. They are looting from house to house. They reach a house. They passed by. It's like they didn't see the gate. They thought it was a wall, but it was a gate. Then they went to the next house. So when you wake up in the morning, this house has been robbed. This house, yours has escaped. This house has been robbed. This opposite is robbed. Adjacent is robbed. Diagonal is robbed. Yours has escaped. Then you ask yourself, how did it happen? Because when you are asleep, you can't even determine what is happening. Allow the blessing of God to hang on your head and not a curse. Stand up on your feet. Let's go home. Oh yes. Oh yes. Malura mashanda la bakura masikataya. Lero mama 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 mama. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you. The Lord bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you. Yes. Lift your hand.
Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace.
He's blessing you right now.
The generations, and your family, and your children, and your children. May his favor be upon you, and a thousand generations, and your family, and your children, and your children. May his presence go before you, and behind you, and beside you, all around you, and within you. He's with you in the morning,
in the morning,
in the evening, in your coming, and your going,
your weeping,
rejoicing.
He's for you,
he's for you,
he's for you,
he's for you,
he's for you.
You have done in your life that qualifies for a curse, I lift my hand and I apply to heaven, to the blood of the everlasting covenant. For he who was made a curse for us, who knew no curse, who knew no sin, but was made a curse for us, that we might experience the blessing that was poured upon Abraham. I plead his blood over every one of us for forgiveness. That whatever is a curse hanging on our heads, through our bloodline, through our own wicked activities and ill will and wickedness and deceptions, may the Lord have mercy. Through the blood that speaks better things than the blood of Abel, the blood speaks for you, the blood answers for you, the blood forgive you, the blood make it pass over you, the blood make it escape you. Receive supernatural immunity in the mighty name of Jesus. The Lord help you, the Lord bless you. Now, instead of a curse, let there be a blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you for favor and give you peace. All the days of your life, experience blessings and not curses. Experience blessings. Even that you have not paid your tithe for several months, the Lord have mercy on you. And the Lord forgive you. And the Lord restore you. And take away the accursed thing from your midst. And make you face your enemies and overcome them. And overcome every kind of calamity that has come your way. Whatever is falling on your family, from father to son, from son to son, auntie to sister, sister to children, I command it power broken, and I command the favor of God to override it. The Lord show you mercy through his kindness and tender mercies. By the blood that was shed for us, we give you praise. Thank you, Master, in Jesus' name. Sicknesses are disappearing because the curse is rolled away. Sicknesses are going out of your life because the curse is rolled away. Marriages are entering because the curse is rolled away. Favor is coming on you because the curse is rolled away. The Lord have mercy on you and bless you in Jesus' name. The Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you.
Make his face shine upon you and be gracious. The Lord's face on you and
Father, we thank you so much for the blessing. Be blessed. Be blessed. May the curse of poverty roll away. And let the blessing of prosperity be yours. For Christ, though he was rich, he became poor, that you, through his poverty, might become rich. May that story be yours, that from rags you have moved to riches. The Lord give you that favor. Receive such supernatural testimonies. Oh yes. You who have faithfully paid your tithe, I declare to you today, you are blessed for honoring the Lord with your substance. May you never know a better yesterday. The Lord help you with his mighty right hand, so all men will know that it is the Lord who has lifted you up. The Lord bless you and keep you in Jesus' name. Amen. As every head is bowed and every eye closed, maybe you are here today, but you are not a serious Christian. You are not born again. As every head is bowed, every eye closed, I want to invite you to this place. If you want to give the Lord your heart, give him your life, wherever you are standing, I want you to lift up your right hand so I can pray for you. Anybody here like that? Somebody invited you. But if you are to die today, you are not sure you make it to heaven. But Pastor, I see your hand. God bless you. Pastor, pray for me. Maybe you are even a Christian, but you are not a serious Christian. But today you want to rededicate your life. I want to rededicate my life. I want to be serious. I want to be serious. Help me, Lord. Lift your hand. I want to pray for you. God bless you. God bless you. I see your hands. If you have lifted your hand, come to me right in front here so I can pray for you.
Into my heart. Into my
Please lift up your hands. Let's pray together. Say after me, Heavenly Father, I thank you for today. I come to you just as I am. Please forgive me for all my sins and wash me with your precious blood. From today, I will serve Jesus. I will follow Jesus for the rest of my days. Thank you, Father. Please write my name in the book of life. Please write my name in the book of life. I'm yours forever. Now, Satan, from today, I belong to Jesus. I will serve Jesus for the rest of my days. Thank you, Father, for all that you have done. In Jesus' name, amen. Please follow my pastor. He's called Pastor Michael. He will talk to you, pray with you, and then he will join us again. Take out your communion elements. What a blessing. Father, we thank you for the blessing of the bread and the wine, the blood that speaks better things, the blood that washes, that cleanses, that sets free. Oh, the masha kile to simia bahada. Zino li maharaka sieke fini mitabale. Jesus, thanks a million for the bread, for the wine. We want to serve you all the days of our life. Thank you for the body that was broken for us. We receive it with thanks in Jesus' name. The body of Jesus. Lift this wine. We thank you that the blood speaks better things.
than the blood of Abel. The blood of Abel is crying vengeance. The blood of Jesus is speaking peace. Peace be still. Forgiveness. Mercy. Restoration. Advancement. Enlargement. Thank you for the blood. We thank you in Jesus' name. Drink the blood. Blessing. Be blessed. Be favored. Be blessed in your uprising and in your down sitting. Be blessed in your going out and be blessed in your coming in. The Lord show you mercy and kindness and favor you all the days of your life. Be delivered from wickedness, robbery attacks, accidents from drunk drivers. Receive safety from the Lord. When you drive on the road, when you walk by the road, when you ride by the road, be delivered from kidnappers masquerading as Uber drivers and Bolt drivers. The Lord deliver you from their machinations and may give you divine escapes all the days of your life. 1 minute before the time an accident is happening, may you pass by. May you cross. May you not have reached there. Oh, 30 minutes before the time, may the Lord give you divine escapes. The Lord help you and strengthen you. The Lord prosper you. The Lord make you see money you have never seen in your hand before. The Lord bless you indeed. In Jesus' name. Amen.
We have no doubt that you have received a blessing from the Word of God preached by Bishop Eddie Addy. Do join either of our Victory Secret Services from the Macarius Church Headquarters, East Egon Hills, Accra, this and every Sunday at 7:30 p.m. and 10:30 a.m. Connect with Bishop Eddie Addy on Facebook Live, YouTube, Instagram, and Twitter. God bless you and lead you in a series of victories.